are smarter than us.
Silence!
They make a living
give
without any fuss.
Us
water,
water,
sun, and air.
And
are
sun.
All they need to grow. Do I have to get specific?
Sure.
I think plants
we are so terrific.
Plants
ooh
are generous souls.
Ooh.
They feed all.
It's Garden Talk Live at KSRO. I'm Steve Garner, along with Gwen Kilcher, celebrating 31 years. I started the show when I was 9.
I thought you were 12.
I was 12. 31 years and counting, serving Northern California with gardening questions and gardening answers and everything you should be aware of in the world of gardening. I know it's a big claim, but we do our best. Kelly Cox, Madam President of the Sonoma County Beekeepers Association, sitting in with us this hour, as is Vice President, Communications Wizard, and Jerob. And I just learned that you have a newsletter. What's the name of your newsletter?
The Extractor.
I love it.
A very fitting name for a beekeeping association.
Do we have to be a member to
No, the Extractor's available online. Our website is sonomabees.org. Anyone can go online. We have a lot of information and beautiful photographs, as well as our Extractor, which is available to anyone to read and learn about what's going on in the world of bees.
Do you sell extractors online?
No, we don't.
But also want to let you know that anybody also is able to come to our general meeting, which is on the second Monday of the month at the 4-H building in Rohnert Park.
You went to one of those meetings, didn't you, Gwen?
Yeah. Yes, and there were over 100 people there. And the information was amazing. It was great association and meetings.
Yeah, yeah, they're
fun.
They're super fun. We try and have we always have a presentation of some sort. And then we have a meet and greet from 6 to 7 where people can come in and ask questions of beekeepers and our cluster groups. And then we have a presentation usually from about 7 to 8:30 and then questions, Q&A afterwards.
Wow, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to remind our listeners, there's a terrific community event happening tomorrow. Wait a second. Today. It's happening today. Today's March 31st, isn't it? Mm-hmm. At the Community Seed Exchange, St. Stephen's Episcopal Church, that's on Robinson Road in Sebastopol. And it's from 11 until noon today. If you're out and about and want to stop in, it's only an hour of your time. It's called Growing Grains. Growing Grains. Learn about diverse heirloom grains and expand your garden to include staple grains like quinoa, amaranth, wheat, and barley. The class will be taught by Sarah McCammont. She's co-founder of the Community Seed Exchange and the garden coordinator for the Ceres Project. That's Sarah's family farm. White Mountain Farm was one of the first in the U.S. to grow quinoa commercially. It's pretty great that she's going
awesome
to be doing this seminar. A huge thanks to Rebecca Newburn of the Richmond Seed Library for coming north to share her knowledge on seed-saving basics. There's a lot of great information on the Richmond Grow Seed website, including a link to the slideshow that Rebecca shared with her at the class. So this is 11 until 12 today. What a great opportunity to learn about growing heirloom grains at the Community Seed Exchange, and that's at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church, 500 Robinson Road in Sebastopol. Sounds great, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So anybody that can attend.
And that's a really good segue for for talking about, you know, oftentimes people will say to us, we can't have bees in our backyard, or, you know, we have somebody in the family who's allergic to bees or something. So one of the ways that you can help bees is by planting bee forage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we're always encouraging people to do. There's so many different types of things that you can plant that I'm sure you could tell us a little bit more about while you're here.
And isn't there a list? Don't
we
you have
do
a list
do
of possible you know, plants that would help the bees and other beneficial insects. Mm-hmm. So
we have a list that we have a list that we hand out at the meeting.
Okay,
and then we also always bring the brochures to the fairs that we do.
Right.
So and they're accessible. It's accessible online also, right?
Okay. Right. I believe it's online on our website as well.
Yeah. And there are even some of the nurseries now that have little sections dedicated to bee pollinating plants.
Yeah.
Bee pollinators.
And then aside, in addition to planting for bees, being very cautious about spraying.
Mm-hmm.
Spraying pesticides, herbicides. Bees are probably one of the most sensitive indicators of what's going on in our environment. And one of their big problems in survival is of what the things that we are spraying and doing to our environment. So planting for bees and not spraying.
And not only not spraying, there is this fertilizer insecticide combination mm-hmm. that Bayer comes out with, and you sprinkle these granules on the ground and you water it in, and then it's a systemic, so it goes up through the plant. And so what happens, the bees take that insecticide with them, and that is probably the number one problem for bees, is that Bayer insecticide fertilizer systemic. You'll see that readily available at all your big boxed stores. Mm-hmm. And, it couldn't hurt to tell the manager, the garden manager, that, this is probably a product that you should take off your shelf.
Yeah.
And I feel very strong about that product.
Yeah.
Because when I was working at Callaway's Nursery many years ago, you can't believe how many people were coming in with issues associated with products that have been sprayed on plants or the granules, and bees dying left and right. And
it's important to add, I think one of the big things is about being educated on this stuff mm-hmm. because I think this is just so new to so many people that we're not new in terms of pesticides, but new in terms of how it's affecting us and how much it's affecting us. So I think one of the things that is really great is to ask when you go to the nurseries, ask them if they have nicotinoids in their plants, if their plants are, where are they coming from? Look at the labels and figure it out and start understanding and reading and knowing what those particular herbicides and pesticides are. And then if you stop buying those particular things, if everybody stopped buying that, some of the nurseries might start thinking about where they actually bring their flowers and plants in from.
And I think on the label, too, it will say that neonicotinoids or something that they've used in the growing of this plant.
Exactly.
It's on the label.
Or it's free of that.
Or free of that, which is free of that. Okay.
But one thing people don't often understand is that pesticides or herbicides are often brought back into the hive. It permeates into the wax that the bees lay their babies in, or it goes into the pollen bee bread that they feed their babies with. So while it may not kill the bee that comes in direct contact with it, it may
kill off
affect the colony through the babies that are being born from it. So.
Exactly.
And another segue, you were mentioning being educated about buying your plants.
Yes.
So I know you could buy packages of bees.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So is that a good idea for us to do?
So what's happened is, it's very interesting actually, so I'm going to sort of back up a little bit, because the Sonoma County Beekeepers Association we're so incredibly fortunate to live in this county, in Sonoma County, because we have amazing foraging, and we have a great climate, and we also have our association, which is very vast and has now broken up into these different segments, these sort of our regional segments, which are called clusters. Because of that, we also realize that bees do well in their own climate when they're moved, which is one of the sort of things that started this whole idea, was to start sharing our bees, mm-hmm. either through splitting or catching swarms in the same area and sharing them with the same people who lived in that area. So we started these cluster groups. Because of that, we try and encourage our members, our cluster members, to share so they don't have to buy the packages.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, there's a lot of people who don't have the luxury of that. It'd be so great to be able to keep your bees geographically in their same areas, because then their chance for overwintering for 2 years or so is so much higher, which is what you want. But, you know, there are also people who don't have that luxury, either because down south, for instance, they have Africanized bees. So they actually don't want to share. They get packaged bees. I mean, that's important to them. So it kind of really depends a lot on where you live. But for certainly in Sonoma County, we are trying to encourage people to at least share within their cluster groups. And it makes for a better bee population, honestly.
Mm-hmm. But say somebody wants to start up a hive of bees. How can they get bees?
Well, I think there's a couple things. First of all, we also encourage people who are just wanting to start up a hive to really become members of the Beekeepers Association. Mm-hmm. Because what I have found now being a beekeeper for 7 years is that really only about maybe 2 years ago, I started to understand what I was doing. It took me so long to really grasp it. Education is huge. Knowing what you're doing is so important. And beekeeping is expensive. It can be very expensive. You can go out and you can buy a hive from Costco, for example. If you don't know what you're doing, that could just be money down the drain. You could buy a package of bees, throw them into that hive. You're not really sure how it works. And then you get discouraged. And all of a sudden, you don't want to be a beekeeper anymore. So I think the most important thing is to join the Sonoma County Beekeepers Association, or at least come to the general meetings, meet some beekeepers, start learning about bees, and then you'll feel so much more comfortable. And you'll have partners to ask questions of, and you'll have bee buddies, which is what we call them, to be able to help you. So,
And there's also great classes at the junior college.
That's right.
Taught by Serge Labesse.
Serge, yes.
Fabulous for learning. Yeah. So learning before being in a huge rush to get your bees.
Yes.
Is the best guarantee of success for them and rewarding beekeeping for you.
So I think a lot of people would like to have bees to get their own honey. Mm-hmm. So how do they even make honey? That's what they need to know too. They don't.
Right.
So educate yourself how do bees make honey? How do you extract that honey?
Yeah.
You know, there's all that education.
Of course,
so.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that I think Anne would agree is for the first few years that I was beekeeping, and most beekeepers, you don't expect to get honey. Like, you have to kind of, when you're going to go into beekeeping, why are you going in there? Mm-hmm. Why are you beekeeping? Are you beekeeping really because you want honey? Or are you beekeeping because you're trying to help the bee population? And if you kind of start off with understanding that, then it helps set the path for becoming a better beekeeper. Chances are, unless you get what we call a dead out, which means your bees don't make it, chances are you're not going to get honey the first year that you keep bees. It's a full year, and they have to overwinter that year. So you have to have an idea of what you're doing to be able to, you have to manage that hive. And if you don't manage the hive, you might have a big box of honey that they made in the fall or the summer, but you're not going to have bees. So you have to really kind of go in there trying to figure out what is it you're wanting to have bees for, and then start talking to other beekeepers.
Let's take a call. Tom, welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO, calling us from Forestville this morning. What can we do for you?
Well, this is Tony.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I understood that nicotine is bad for bees as an insecticide, but people around here have the plant Nicotiana or something like that?
Nicotiana.
Does that have nicotine in it?
It's called the tobacco plant.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not burly. It's not a burly tobacco plant grown in North Carolina.
There's one variety, Indian something, 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 which the leaves can be used for tobacco, but I don't think it does very well here, you're saying it does in the South and whatnot. But I know seeds were available from Baker Creek Seeds, I think. But I don't know if they still sell it or not. But
I'm wondering if Tony means nicotinoids or nicotine.
Nicotiana.
Oh, Nicotiana. So it's Nicotiana.
Yeah.
Bees tend to not go towards anything that they're very smart. So they tend to not take anything that they that's going to harm them.
It's a beautiful plant, but remember, all parts of the plant is poisonous and ingested. Oh. So if you don't want, you know, if you got any animals, plants, dogs, cats around, you really don't want to be planting. It's usually a South American type plant. It, I don't know, it even does very well around here.
There's a few varieties that do well here. They're nice, you know, short-lived perennials, and sometimes they reseed. But yeah, like Kelly was saying, you know, bees know where to go to get the nectar and the pollen.
Right.
So that's probably not one of their favorite plants.
Right. But it is true that nicotine is bad for the bees?
That's true. Yeah, because they used that as a spray, you know, 50, 100 years ago. But I don't think that's available anymore. You're not going to find any products that have nicotine in it. I think that's, you know, one of those old, something that was taken off the market, banned for whatever reasons.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. So, Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling, Tony. We'll be right back. More information on bees. Of course, if you have bee questions, talk to two of our experts in the studio this morning, and Jeber and Kelly Cox from the Sonoma County Beekeepers Association. Gwen Kilcher answering all general garden talk questions. We have a couple emails, which we'll get to in just a couple minutes. And at 11:05, Chef John Ash in the KS Ardo Kitchen welcoming Professor Ken Albala, who's written the new book, Noodle Soup. It is quite a book. Hope you'll stick around for that.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio, 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
Did you know you could own a brand new heating and cooling system for as little as $8 a week? Here's Paul Bigham with Bigham's 1-Hour Heating and Air Conditioning.
When you combine rebates, incentives, and utility savings with our exceptional payment plans, you could have a new state-of-the-art home heating and cooling system for as little as $8 a week. Bigham's 1-Hour specializes in complete heating and cooling system upgrades with top-of-the-line air conditioners and furnaces. Our exclusive AeroSeal technology to seal your ductwork for maximum efficiency, and smart thermostats for effortless management of your entire home environment.
Don't need an upgrade just yet? Call Bigham's 1-Hour for a comprehensive tune-up for just $49. 27 years. Local. Reliable. Bigham's 1-Hour. Call 844-5-TUNE-UP or log on to 844-5-TUNE-UP.com. 844-5-TUNE-UP.com.
It's the third annual North Bay Boat, RV, and Sports Show. Enjoy 3 days of dealers showcasing boats, RVs, trucks, and toys. Retail vendors with everything from bicycles, footwear, and personal watercraft to boats, outdoor trinkets, and fun. It's time to get out and get down to the Sonoma County Fairgrounds for a full weekend of demos and hands-on enjoyment. The Sonoma County Boat, RV, and Sports Show at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds, Friday, April 20th through Sunday, April 22nd. $5 admission with $1 from each ticket going to the Sonoma County Resilience Fund to address mid to long-term needs of those impacted by the fires. Enjoy free admission Friday, and kids 12 and under are free all weekend long. The North Bay Boat, RV, and Sports Show, April 20th through the 22nd. Check out more details, vendors, and ticket info at SonomaCountyOutdoorExpo.com.
Our community loses too many to preventable heart disease. It's time to change. Together, we can work toward a better future and end preventable heart disease. Talk to your family. Talk to your friends. Find out what you can do at checkyourbp.org. We can all take back our health, and we can start today, together. Fight heart disease. Check your blood pressure. Learn more at checkyourbp.org. This message is brought to you by United Way of the Wine Country and the Center for Well-Being. 1 in 5 women will die of heart disease, many without warning signs. It's time we change this. Together, we can work toward a better future and end preventable heart disease. Talk to your family. Talk to your friends. Find out what you can do at checkyourbp.org. We can all take back our health, and we can start today. Fight heart disease. Check your blood pressure. Learn more at checkyourbp.org. This message is brought to you by United Way of the Wine Country and the Center for Well-Being.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you encounter a down power line, you need to stay away from it. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond, as well as PG&E. PG&E will make the scene safe.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
can reach us at 636-1350 and talk bees if you would like. We have two experts in the KSRO greenhouse today, Kelly Cox and Ann Giroux from the Sonoma County Beekeepers Association, or any general gardening questions at 636-1350 for myself and Gwen Kilcher. By email, we took a call last week from Tracy about planting in barrels, and she followed up with an email saying the yield from a half wine barrel that contained one basil, two tomatoes, the beefy sort, not cherry, and three pepper plants, two Einaheims and one bell. Peppers were constrained in biodegrading cups, so that probably helped the tomatoes to succeed. The pepper yield was horrible, two bells and about 10 Einaheims of that. Yes, Gwen, you were right about the plastic cups. They were that hard plastic-like material. My gut told me that they would not rot. I didn't listen to my gut.
So well, you were right. Years ago, not even that long ago, some nurseries were coming out with these biodegradable, supposedly peat mossy, compressed looking pots. And it's like a 2.5-inch pot that you supposedly just plant and bury it in the ground and it decomposes and there you go. Well, it takes a long time. I mean, I even threw some in my compost pile and 1.5 years later, they were still looking like pots. So, you know, if you should buy any plants, that's not to discourage you from buying vegetable plants that are in those containers. Just pretend that it's a plastic pot and take it out of the pot and plant it. But those containers could go in your compost bin.
Okay.
I wouldn't, not in your compost bin at home, but the recycling bin.
Bin.
Okay. Compost bin. Yeah. Or the recycle bin you put in there. So, yeah. But those guys do take forever and a day to break down. And
As far as the yield, Tracy says, tomatoes got to be 6 feet tall and produced wonderfully. I had more than enough for one person and lots to give away, but not enough to make spaghetti sauce. No problem with the yield on the tomatoes. The basil survived wonderfully. I will keep you posted on the yields for this year. Thanks for your advice.
Okay, so full sun. Maybe it wasn't in full sun. Good planting soil, potting mix. But for the tomato plants, not to make enough for spaghetti sauce. That sounds like they did okay, but they could do better if she would just put one, or maybe, you know, like I said last week, one large growing tomato and maybe a cherry tomato in one half wine barrel. But to put more than two in there with anything else, I mean, that's a lot of roots that are growing that take up a lot of fertilizer and water and a lot of room to grow. So somehow they're compromised.
636-1350. No one on hold at this moment in time. Plenty of time to get in to talk with our three guests this morning on Garden Talk. Or you can always shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com. Dear Steve and Gwen, what's the ratio for spraying plants and fruit trees with dish soap and water? I'd like to make it as strong as possible. How often should I spray? Will it work on scale? Will it work on aphids? Is there any harm in spraying soap and water on everything, even though I don't see any pests? I do have a heavy infestation on a Lenten rose. I'm not sure if it's scale or aphids, et cetera, et cetera. So
aphids are easier to get rid of than scale.
Yeah.
I wouldn't spray anything on anything unless you see a problem. So if you see the aphids or you see the scales, if you don't know the difference or you don't know what you have, send us a picture. We'll take a look at it. But soapy water, I just like to use environmentally friendly dish detergent, liquid dish soap. Put in like 10 drops in a squirt bottle of water. Mm-hmm. And you can go out in the evening and you can spray those little pests that you see. If it's scale, it's easier to just cut them out. Just cut the stem where they're attached to, or you can see them sometimes underneath the leaves, and they're in clusters. They look like little bumps. You go ahead and just cut them out. Put a bag or a pot or something, a box underneath when you're cutting, because sometimes when you're out there cutting away, then some of the insects are falling on the ground, or they fall onto another part of a plant or another plant, and then you have another infestation. So that way you collect them in a box or a bag, whatever, and then dispose of them.
And make sure you spray underneath the leaves too.
Yeah, spray all those little bugs that you see. And then what I like to do early in the morning, I go out and I get the hose and I just wash that stuff off.
Okay.
Because when you leave, sometimes you leave soapy water on the plants, and you know, it's 85 degrees or so. Sometimes it burns the plants, so the insects wouldn't have done as much damage as you just did by leaving soapy water on the plants. So
my when I do it, I usually do 1 tablespoon in a quart of water, or 5 tablespoons in a gallon of water. And maybe you and I disagree with this. I don't use Dawn or any of those detergents.
Yeah, that's
because
what, yeah.
Dawn and those detergents, they have hand softeners, they have fragrance in them, they have degreasers, they have antibacterial, they got a whole bunch of stuff in them. What I use is an old, this is because I'm an old hippie, Dr. Bronner's Pure Castile Soap. All it is soap. And the soap is what kills the aphids, what smothers it. It's a great product. It's pure. It doesn't have any of the other junk that you really don't need to smother the aphids. So
I forgot to say that. Yeah. But in next week, my column is in the newspaper. I put that in there just
for you,
Steve. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That Dr. Bronner's.
Well, they should send us a case.
Yeah, but if you don't have that and you need to get.
It's true. No, it's not like the end of the world if you have to use some Dawn, which is usually what people.
But I said environmentally friendly.
Yeah, well, then you did.
That's, you know.
So, yes, Diane, don't spray prophylactically. If you don't see something, just don't go out and spray
everything.
Right,
because it's not going to do you any good.
Okay, so there's your answer if you need more information.
Or it's not going to do the bees or the beneficial insects any good either.
That's right.
So
you see a problem, then respond to it.
Right, right.
636-1350, we'll go back to calls. Well, let's see, can we squeeze in? I don't want to have Lee wait on hold for too long. So I think I'm going to take Lee. Let's get your call on before we take our break. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning.
Hi, what can we do for you?
Oh, I just went out and found some black spot on my rose. I have a climbing rose. And my goodness, here's all this stuff just starting out. And I thought, oh. Last year, I lost quite a bit of the foliage, and I thought, what do I do with this?
So this is a rose bush that gets the disease black spot every year?
No.
No? So what was defoliating the roses last year?
Last year, it really got it.
Oh, so the black spot disease, you had it last year.
Yes.
Well, the rose had it last year. Okay, it sounds like it's a variety that is susceptible to black spot. Okay, and so, I mean, if you want to get out there and spray, you know, what is it, a solution of oil, baking soda, water, and you can spray that on the leaves. I mean, that will help control it. All these diseases, you need to be on top of it before they get out of hand. So, it's best to start spraying before you see anything. These are one of these times that you have to do preventative spraying. But if you have to spray all the time. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So if
what
you...
What about neem oil?
No, that stuff, it gets 85 degrees or so, and then it starts to burn the leaves. It can burn the leaves. It's not very beneficial, insect-friendly. It has its goods and pros and cons about that stuff, but that wouldn't be my go-to. You have to spray it all the time, and it's expensive and time-consuming and whatnot. So maybe it's time to think about pulling out that rose and planting another variety that's more resistant to black spot. How about that?
Oh my, this is the second time, because last year was the first time I ever had it.
What variety is this?
I do not know. I've had it maybe 20 years.
Oh, wow.
My brother gave me a slip, and it's a very short in the bud. It's only about an inch long or maybe, but it's kind of like a sunset color with a burnt orange and a lighter color in with it. But it's a very sweet thing, and it branches out. And I counted 27 buds on one branch.
Wow. Okay.
One single branch.
Okay, you have to keep this rose. So how about if you go out and just pick any of the leaves that you see those black spots on it? And if you have to get glasses, then you get out there and any tiny little spot that you see, you can just pick that leaf off and dispose of it.
That's what I've been doing.
Okay. Well, see, you know, and sometimes that will help, sometimes it doesn't. But this, any kind of spray that you put on these plants, you have to keep spraying every week. It's not going to be like one time and then that takes care of the problem. Because the spores are in the air and the plant is susceptible to it and it will get it. So, and it's, you know, if you can, you know, you get to the point where, okay, I'm done. I'm not pulling off any more leaves. Then there are no leaves left on the plant. Just leave it alone. The disease will stop when the weather conditions change. And you're not watering the plant. It's not getting wet anyhow. Spray, you know, water spray blowing on the plant. Or is it staying dry all the time?
Actually, I just water maybe once a week.
Okay, but you're not watering the foliage, just the soil?
No.
Okay.
Just the soil.
Okay. You know, water regularly, put a lot of compost around the base of the plant, so that breaks down and helps improve your soil. And, you know, just keep your fingers crossed and, you know, do the best you can. Because like I said, it's a catch-22. It's a tough situation with diseases and roses. So, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, I want to know how that rose does later on, so keep us posted, okay?
Thank you.
All right, Lee.
Bye.
Bye. Okay,
thanks. So you're hoping that it'll just work its way out?
I mean, sometimes the diseases do, but sometimes they don't.
And if it doesn't, would you do an organic spray like Serenade, which has Bexillus subtilis? It's organically approved, and it is costly. You can get it in small containers. Would you think about
me personally?
Well,
no.
Maybe not. But Serenade, as far as the compendium of sprays that would work for her if she really is suffering and this is,
well, like you said,
really
it's costly.
Bad.
You have to spray it all the time, probably from now until fall. I don't know how often, but because all these organic, you know, bacteria and stuff are very short-lived.
Yeah.
And then the warmer it gets, the quickly they die. And so I just look at, like, one more thing that you're spraying. Anytime you spray something on a plant, you're it kills something. So it also kills other things that you have no intention of killing, such as beneficial insects and bees.
Well, call us back and let us know how the plant is doing, whether it's outgrown this black spot. We'll take a break and be right back, 636-1350, or Steve at KSRO.com to communicate directly into the KSRO greenhouse.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
Another year has come and gone, and the whole family at Pranzini Christmas Tree Farms wants to send their warmest thanks and blessings to all their patrons and their families. In the last few months, the North Bay has gone through so many devastating challenges that have changed the lives of so many. But the new year gives us all the opportunity to work on the problems, failures, and disappointments in hopes of a new beginning for so many friends and families. The Pranzini family wishes for you that with a fresh start, new hope will bring wonderful new things. The family at Pranzini Christmas Tree Farms has been happily serving Marin and Sonoma County for the past 50 years and plans to continue the family legacy for years to come. Go to PranziniTrees.com and see what's coming in 2018. The family at Pranzini Christmas Tree Farms wishes a Happy New Year to all.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's fun to shop healthy. Your food is fresh and provided by local farmers and ranchers. These farmers offer the freshest local produce and select beef, pork, lamb, chicken, seafood, and freshly made sausage. A variety of cheeses, eggs, and dairy, all at the market. In March, the farmers bring fresh salad mix. Parsons Homegrown is back with delicious organic heirloom tomatoes. Enjoy the Beet Generation's fresh produce and handmade pasta. Shop our creative local artisans and sample warm, fresh pastries and bread. Select one of Dominique's beautiful cherry pies. Enjoy breakfast or lunch from our variety of prepared foods. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, winner of Bohemian's Best of Award, is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center. Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
on and off clouds throughout the weekend. Today, partly cloudy at 75, 61 on the coast. Some clouds tonight, low 47, 49 on the shores. Mostly sunny for Sunday at 75, 65 in Bodega Bay. Monday, some clouds at 74, 65 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
It's Garden Talk live at KSRO. You can reach us at 636-1350 or steve@ksro.com. Any and all gardening questions, wherever you're listening to us from, we probably have a pretty good idea what might be afflicting your plants or ways to improve your gardening. We have some special folks from the Beekeepers Association from Sonoma County in with us this morning. And, of course, if you have any interest in keeping bees, what they can do for your yard or garden, maybe suggestions for good pollinators, native plants, these are the folks to talk with. And you specialize in part of the educational component at the Beekeepers?
Well, I don't specialize personally in it, but I did want to say that Sonoma County Beekeepers Association is a lot about education, both education of our beekeepers and individuals who think they want to become beekeepers. But we're also big on reaching out into the community and bringing education about bees into our schools. Various community events we may be asked to come speak at. We always love coming out and have people who are interested in educating. We're also always needing educators to come learn how to go into the classrooms and educate our children. They are our future beekeepers. But we can also be found at fairs and events. And I'm going to defer here to Kelly to talk about the particular events we have volunteers at. We share all kinds of education, often have fun activities for families and children if they come.
I think the next one we have coming up, if it hasn't happened already, is at Quarry Hill. So we have a Quarry Hill event for Earth Day. And then we've got the Sonoma County Fair. Mm-hmm. So we're there for those three weekends. My favorite is the Apple Fair. Mm-hmm. So I love that one. And then the Heirloom. And I'm missing
one. We also participate in a science. Isn't there a science event at the fairgrounds?
We have, which is wonderful, is we have our volunteer committee, which is volunteers of events. So we have four women who are part of the association that really do an amazing job of putting on all of our fairs and getting the volunteers from our members to participate. And again, you can find that on our website. We have information about all of that on the website.
636-1350, if you'd like a word with Garden Talk, give us a call. Chris from Santa Rosa, welcome to the show. What can we do for you?
I have a question for you about irrigating grapes. We have Red Flame and Thompson Seedless, and they get 2 gallons. They got an emitter on them that's 2 gallons an hour. They get watered twice a week for an hour. Is that sufficient? Do I need to put more water down on them? The fruit that we get has typically been on the smaller side, but very sweet.
Well, the fruit is probably on the smaller size compared to what you see in the stores, because a lot of these grapes that come in from different areas spray a growth hormone on them to make the grapes bigger. And so who wants to buy a tiny little grape that's harder to eat than a big, fat, juicy grape? So chances are they're sprayed with a growth hormone. It's hard to say what you described about the watering, if that's sufficient or not, because everyone's soil's different, climate's different, your growing area is different than mine. So after you've watered your grapes, like you said, 2 gallons in an hour, when the watering system shuts off, get a little trowel or a little screwdriver or something, and dig down around, you know, different parts of the soil there around the plants and see how far down that water went, okay, or it didn't. or if you find any dry spots, that could be, you know, that's usually an issue with anything that we're growing, is that some parts of the root system are wet and the other parts are dry.
Right.
So it's just working on half a root system. Is there any mulch on top of the ground, any organic matter on top of the soil around the plants?
No, there's not.
Just bare soil or what?
Bare soil.
Okay. So put about
an
inch.
Like a sandy loam.
Okay. I would put about an inch to 2 inches of an organic material on top of the ground around the plants, and don't put it up against the little trunks of the plant. Keep it a few inches away. And then it's called mulching. So you're putting some mulch on top of the soil. So that prevents the sun from baking the soil and having water evaporate. It prevents the rain from pounding the soil in the winter and compacting it. So even though you have a sandy loam, I mean, you know, anything can happen. So as that compost material breaks down, it helps to feed the soil and it adds all the nutrients and goodies, and that feeds your plant. So you don't have to put out any fertilizers for your grapes. So to make a long story short.
And with a single emitter, should I be seeing moisture all around the plant?
Yes.
I'm thinking emitter is basically putting it out in one spot.
It's putting it out in one spot. Depending on your soil, if you have that sandy loam, the water's probably going more straight down than out sideways where it would with a clay soil. Because the clay soil, you know, takes time to absorb the water, and it usually goes out sideways for a while, and then it starts to go down. So you need to be...
Now, our grapes are on a hill, and we water above the grape, thinking that it's going to go down the hill.
Yes, it will.
Okay.
It will, if it has enough water. But you do have to check, you know, four different areas around the grape, like at 12 o'clock, 3, 6, 9 o'clock, dig down and see what the soil is like. And then, before the water comes on again, check the soil. Okay, you're being a detective right now, so you want to see if your watering system is efficient and what you're doing is adequate or not. So, before the water goes on again, check the soil again. And you might be pleasantly surprised that that soil is still wet. Okay, say that watering did a good job. That soil is still wet, but yet your watering system was going to go on again. So now you're teetering on too much water, which could compromise the roots and then could have a little root rot going on. And maybe that's why your grapes are not doing as best or as well as they should be, could be. So it's all in watering. So you might, once you see what you have to work with, then you know how to adjust the watering system.
Thanks for your call, Chris.
Thanks a lot, folks.
Okay.
Good hearing from you.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Digital Pro Kim Commando, and I'm here Sundays, noon to 3, on KSRO.
Enjoy Easter with the family at the Inn of the Tides in beautiful Bodega Bay. Overlooking the water with gorgeous views of the bay, the Bayview Restaurant at the Inn of the Tides serves fresh local seafood, California and Italian cuisine year-round, and all ingredients are sourced locally and organic when available. Make this holiday special and enjoy a relaxing Easter Sunday with the family at the Bayview Restaurant, with a special menu served from 10:30 to 7. Start with a complimentary mimosa, then enjoy first courses like asparagus velouté with bay shrimp or traditional Caesar salad. Then select main courses that include crab cake benedict or their grilled filet mignon with bordelaise sauce, and finish with specially created desserts featuring chocolate lava cake or Copa gelato. Reservations are still available. Children 12 and under are half priced. The Inn at the Tides, less than 30 minutes from Santa Rosa, but it seems a world away. Go to innatthetides.com for more info.
Hi, I'm former State Senator Noreen Evans. I'm proud to be part of a legal team representing over 700 of our neighbors in the lawsuit against PG&E for the October wildfires. Our team believes that representing you is about more than just filing a lawsuit. We provide our clients with resources to help rebuild and recover. Whether it's informational workshops on recovery issues or helping with insurance claims, we believe in putting our clients first, in and out of the courtroom. To learn more and join the hundreds who have taken action, visit our website at pgelawsuit.com or call us at 707-237-2445. We hold town hall meetings twice a week at our offices located at 70 Stony Point Road, Suite A, Santa Rosa. Our next town hall meetings are Thursday, April 5th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. and Saturday, April 7th from 9 to 11 a.m. We hope to see you there.
John Cox of the Law Offices of John Cox is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
If you love ice cream like we love ice cream, you've got to love Cold Stone Creamery. And now you can get a $50 gift certificate for only $25 at mysonomadeals.com. We make our rich, super creamy ice cream fresh in every store every day. To create the ultimate ice cream experience, now for half off, get your $50 gift certificate for only $25 at mysonomadeals.com. While you're there, check out other half-off deals for places like Lupe's Diner and Carter House Inns. That's mysonomadeals.com.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you're in your home or business and you smell gas, your first step is to get out. Travel to a safe distance until you can't smell the gas anymore, and then call 911. The first responders will come out and they'll make it safe for you and your community.
In the waning moments of Garden Talk on this Saturday morning, the last Saturday of March, April, no kidding, tomorrow, April Fool's.
Ah, my favorite day of the year.
So what can we do to increase diversity of plantings in Sonoma County?
Well, you know, we were just talking about vineyards. It was, and so started talking after. And you just said something that I found interesting, which is that we have the sort of agricultural paradise, is I think what you called it, for vineyards. And beekeepers tend to think of it as actually being an agricultural desert. So
for bees.
Yeah. And even though it's beautiful, I think one of the problems is that we see it, but we don't really understand, or most people don't really understand what having that monoculture of vineyards does to our bees, which really doesn't provide them with any forage. And there's acres and acres. Now, having said that, there are some fabulous vineyard owners who really have take pride and have done fantastic jobs of putting forage in between their rows, of having huge spaces where they actually plant a lot of bee forage. So that's what we are all hoping that more vineyard owners will do, that they'll take on that sort of responsibility of, even though they have these deserts, sort of bee deserts, that they still can provide space that's going to be really helpful and super necessary if we're going to keep this bee population going in Sonoma County.
And you mentioned a project the Girl Scouts were involved
in. Yes, yes. So Cheryl Verretto, who actually I believe was on this show, right?
Cheryl.
So Cheryl, a few years ago, having noticed this problem, and who is also a master gardener, got together with the Girl Scouts, and they actually started a project where they went out and planted many of these crops or these areas of bee forage in these vineyards, which was just extraordinary and wonderful.
That's so great. Well, before we close up, let's give all the contact information. Best way to contact your organization, become a member, your membership meetings. Give that to us again.
We have a website at sonomabees.org. You can join by going to that site and pushing the join button. We encourage you to come to our meetings, which are the second Monday of every month. And those are open to anyone who would like to come in. You can also peruse our website, read our newsletter, The Extractor. We encourage you to, you know, come meet with us, learn about bees. And if bees aren't something you can do, you can certainly learn from our gardening group about what plants to plant for bees.
And also they encourage you, if you see a swarm,
That's
why you're here.
That's right.
See a swarm. Get on their website.
Please. Yes. Get
Please,
on our
don't
website.
Don't panic.
Don't panic.
No,
yep.
I think
you'll
that's
find
the
somebody.
Main thing to remember.
Yes, really. It
Take
really is.
Take a deep breath.
It's actually fabulous. And, you know, one thing to remember very quickly is when those bees leave their hive, they have gorged themselves with honey because they know that they're going to be out in the wild for a little bit of time. They don't know how long. So they're very, very placid. Unless you come onto a swarm that maybe has been there for a couple of days and they're now 3 days and they're now hungry. But for the most part, any swarm that you find that comes together is usually very docile. And so it's really a kind of, it's not necessary to panic.
Things have changed too. When Ruth called and said 3 years ago they were talking about having to spray. They couldn't get to it. Well, I know you guys, just if the person who's out there can't help, they call in.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I thank
opinion.
You. So, thanks for saying that, because we did want to go back to that, that you're, you know, we have a lot of people's phone numbers on our list. So if somebody tells you when you call to spray that that's an option, don't let that be your option. I think really importantly, go back to the list and call somebody, because everybody has, there's a way. There's always a way to save the bees, and you have to just spend a little time, go through that list, and get to somebody who is going to help you.
Come out and help.
Come out and help.
So we heard about your bee ventures. What about yours? We didn't hear about yours,
I
Kelly.
Actually got into beekeeping about 4 years ago when a swarm came into my neighbor's yard. And flew into an arbor and then ultimately flew into a garbage can. And I attempted to get a hold of a beekeeper, Hector Alvarez, who's at the farmer's market, wonderful beekeeper, ultimately came out, and they had actually left the neighbor's garbage can that they'd swarmed into by the time he came out. And later that afternoon, I realized they had left the can and come into one of my trees. I have a contorted hazelnut tree. So Hector put them in a hive box, taught me a lot, and ultimately ended up letting me have those bees for a couple years in my garden with him coming out and tending them. And little did I know, prior to that, I never would have thought twice about it. But I fell in love with the bees, and
fantastic.
So I've been a beekeeper.
And thank you for coming in. And
yes,
Kelly,
thank
you for coming
Absolutely.
In.
Absolutely.
Gwen, thank you
so much for having
in.
Us.
We'll see you next week, Gwen.
See you next week,
Have
Steve.
A great week, everybody.
Take
a good
care.
Food hour
Thank
with
you.
Chef John Ash. That coming your way following the news.
Traffic on the fives and weather six times an hour. Mornings on FM News Talk Radio, KSRO.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's fun to shop healthy. Your food is fresh and provided by local farmers and ranchers. These farmers offer the freshest local produce and select beef, pork, lamb, chicken, seafood, and freshly made sausage, a variety of cheeses, eggs, and dairy, all at the market. In March, the farmers bring fresh salad mix. Parsons Homegrown is back with delicious organic heirloom tomatoes. Enjoy the Beet Generation's fresh produce and handmade pasta. Shop our creative local artisans and sample warm, fresh pastries and bread. Select one of Dominique's beautiful cherry pies. Enjoy breakfast or lunch from our variety of prepared foods. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, winner of Bohemian's Best of Award, is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center. Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Creams Towing, this is Arlene.
You know Creams Towing for cars, but Creams Towing can handle even the biggest jobs. Need a motorhome towed? Call Creams. Are you a rancher that needs large equipment moved? Tractors or horse transport trailers are no problem for Creams Towing.
Just call Arlene at Creams, 588-1250. Creams Towing, this is Arlene. With competitive rates and certified Class A drivers, Creams can tow 24/7. They can handle rollovers, heavy-duty accident recovery, and winch out.
Are you a Class A driver looking for a great company to work for? Interested in learning the towing business? Creams is expanding and wants to add several drivers. With the largest fleet of medium and heavy-duty transport vehicles in the area, including a state-of-the-art 50-ton wrecker, you'll learn from the best. Openings for Class A and C. Creams will teach the right candidates.
Be a hero on the highway. Call Creams, 588-1250.
Hey! Hey, it's me, your radio. Yeah, I know, I'm usually here playing your favorite song or the news, weather, sports, talk, even traffic. You and I spend a lot of time together, and I was thinking you should advertise your business right here on the radio. Check it out. About 93% of the population listens to the radio each week. And with radio, you can reach the right people with the right message at the right time, at the right cost. I mean, simply put, the dollars you spend on radio advertising generate the best ROI of any media. I bet you didn't know I knew stuff like that, did you? I know what you're thinking. Sounds pretty good, but I have no idea where to start with this radio advertising thing. Surprise! I'm kind of an expert. Tell you what, give us a call today and find out how radio delivers results.
Find out how radio can help promote your business to thousands of potential customers every week. Call me, Kevin Wadlinger, or go to NorthBayAdvertising.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
We will be back after the news. This is KSRO Santa Rosa.
FM News Talk KSRO, K278CD Santa Rosa, K233CM Petaluma.
Temperatures should be into the mid-70s today, maxing out at about 75. Great weather.